Now we're going to continue the theme of the glory tonight. And so far, as we've been studying this teaching, what we've seen as we've traced through the scriptures and various books in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we've seen how God moves in glory. You know, his glory comes into a place. We've seen the physical manifestations of it. We've seen how that was manifest in his acts of goodness toward those that he was moved. We see it particularly in the life of Jesus, how everywhere he went, he was doing good. We've seen God's glory in and his goodness toward us. Last week, we were looking at the area of the riches of his glory, how God wants to bless us and do us good. And he does that out of the riches of his glory. And one of the things we were we mentioned last week was that the word glory, actually in its very root and rawest form, means to be heavy or to be weighty. And I likened that, because we were looking at riches, we looked at the weight of gold and silver. And we said that's how gold was measured. Actually, in the scriptures, you see very often when gold was brought, they weighed out the gold to give. And we talk about, the Bible talks about talents of gold. That's a weight measure, a talent. And what we've been looking at is this area. And as we go forward tonight, and actually what I'm going to do is, God willing, obviously not this week, but maybe in the next 2 weeks, we're going to tie this up and wrap up this teaching on the glory. What we're going to look at tonight, not so much God's glory towards us, although that is part of it, but so far everything we've seen in this study has all been about God. It's all been about Jesus. It's about his glory, the glory of God. We're just going to turn that around tonight a little bit, and we're going to look at what's our responsibility to the glory. Because we have a responsibility to God's glory. Now, in English, in the English language, in our the language that I use, we have an expression. I don't know whether you have the same expression in Maltese or not, but we have an expression which talks of, we're talking about people. We might say that this person or that person is worth their weight in gold. To be worth their weight in gold. Now, when we use that expression, we're talking about how useful that person is, how helpful he might be. We're talking about the value of that person to us. And what we're actually talking about there, and the way we're using it, is we're talking about how highly we regard him or how highly we esteem him. And really that's the starting point for this study tonight, looking at the glory. How highly we value and regard and appreciate the glory of God and God's work towards us. Because we should regard the glory of God with great esteem. We should hold the glory in great honor. It's of great value or extreme worth to us. Now we have a, there's an adjective we use very often when we're talking about God. And we say that he is worthy. We talk about his worthiness. You know, you're worthy, Lord. And that word worthy actually has the word worth in it, because he is worth everything we can give. We should hold him in high regard, great esteem. I can't remember the exact the author of these words. But it doesn't matter who said them or who wrote them. Ah, yes, it was an old writer. We may have some of his books back there, by the name of A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer. And he said these words once: there's nothing that deforms or twists our spirits and souls worse than a low or unworthy conception of God. So when we don't hold God in high regard, it deforms us and twists us. And he said there's nothing worse than having that type of attitude towards God, where we go, oh, it doesn't matter about God, it doesn't matter about the glory, it doesn't matter about this, it doesn't, you know, God's going to love me anyway, and we have this unworthy conception, or this unworthy, to have no worth. That's what it means, to be unworthy, to have no worth. And when we regard God like that, we are on dangerous ground. Now what we're going to look at tonight is, in particular, just, we're going to read one verse to start with, because we haven't read the scriptures yet. So we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 60. I've quoted from this chapter a few times over the last few weeks. Isaiah 60. 60. 60. 60.
Yes,
we're going to go. We're going to go to just again. I would like to, but we don't really have the time. So I've got a lot of scriptures I want to read tonight. But again, as perhaps if you want an assignment, just read this chapter at home. But we're just going to go to verse 7 tonight. I'm just going to pick out this one verse from this chapter. Because it starts off, if you recall, we've quoted from verses 1 and 2 in previous weeks, talking about the glory of God coming upon the people. But verse 7 says this: all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar. Now look at this next phrase. What God's saying, he says, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Now that's the area we're going to look at tonight. This phrase, the house of my glory. And we're talking about our responsibility to the glory. How we value the glory. How we honor the glory. And God here is talking about the house of his glory. So what are we going to be talking about tonight? The house of God's glory, the church, and how we value, how we appreciate, how we honor God's house. Now in this chapter we read this: God says, I will glorify the house of my glory. Now in the book of Exodus, and actually you could turn it up if you want, Exodus 29. And while you're turning that up, I'll just give you a little bit of background to what's been happening in the book of Exodus. In Exodus we read that God gave Moses instructions on how to construct and how to build the tabernacle. They were detailed instructions. There wasn't, God just didn't say to Moses, just build me a house and build me a tent and do it any way you like, any way you please. There was structure. There was detailed instructions. And again, we've done studies on the tabernacle in the past, and you know the significance of the setup of the tabernacle. Also, we read in Exodus that God gave detailed instructions on how they were to make the priestly garments that they wore. There's detailed instructions about the breastplate they had to wear. How Moses was to consecrate the priests for ministry, there was detailed instructions for that as well. God also gave the detailed recipe, recipe to, for them to make the holy anointing oil. There were instructions about bringing offerings and the sacrifices that were to be made. There was also instruction in Exodus how God's people were to conduct themselves when they were around the tabernacle. And after all of that instruction, and after God had given all that to Moses, he makes a promise to Moses, and we're going to read it in you're at Exodus 29. We're going to go to verse 43. Because after he's promised, after everything that he did, he made a promise that he was going to meet with his people at the tabernacle, and he was going to sanctify it with his glory. So verse 43 of Exodus 29 says this, I hope. It says, there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So God promised to sanctify, to set apart that place, the tabernacle, the meeting place with God, as it was then in the wilderness, with his glory. 43. 29, 43. It says, I will meet with the children of Israel. I've got the right verse, haven't I? It's, yeah. And the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Now, that wasn't just for the tabernacle. We see the same thing happen in Solomon's temple, the same thing happened in the other temples. You know, where God promised to meet with these people, there he would sanctify it with his glory. And he calls it, as we read in Isaiah, he calls it the house of my glory. It's where the glory of God would dwell and rest. Now that shouldn't surprise us then, that when we come together as the church, we should expect to meet with God when we come together. If we're just coming to meet one another, we're not coming with the right purpose and mind, because the tabernacle was the meeting place with God. The church is the meeting place with God for the brethren. Yes, now we fellowship with one another, we share with one another, we encourage and build up one another, and we exhort one another. Ultimately, we're coming to meet with God. So we shouldn't be surprised then that when we come together to meet with God, that God promises to sanctify his house with his glory. And we can expect, or we should expect, that when we come together, we meet with the Lord, that God will come down and meet with us and bless us, that his glory will rest upon our gathering. And what happens when the glory rests upon the gathering? Things happen. We've seen the manifestations of the goodness of God. There's his healing and salvation and blessing. You know, God's house is meant to be a house of glory. It's not meant to be a club. Not where we just come and just have a good time together, get bored and go home. We come with the purpose to meet with God, and because we're meeting with God, then God meets with us, and the glory will be manifest in our midst. In Exodus also, if you're still in Exodus, and you're in Exodus 29, let's go over to chapter 40. Chapter 40. Pages are sticking together. Okay, Exodus 40. This is the last chapter in the book of Exodus. And we're going to go almost to the last verses of the book. let's go to verse 33. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now there's a couple of interesting verses there. That when Moses finished the work, actually I like that. It says Moses finished the work. Everything God had told him, everything God had said to him, Moses did. The tabernacle was constructed according to the pattern that God had shown him. The holy anointing oil was manufactured according to the recipe and the instruction that God gave. Everything that God said to Moses was carried out. Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And it says here, Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the glory filled it. The cloud was above it and the glory was in the tabernacle. There's some encouragement there for us, because Moses followed those instructions right down to the letter. And when we're obedient to God, we see that God is faithful to his word. God was faithful here. He said that he would sanctify the tabernacle with his glory. And he did. When Solomon constructed the temple, the same thing happened. They dedicated it, they offered it to God for his service. The glory of God came down in the place. God honors his word. When we keep his commandments, when we're obedient to God and do what God tells us, guess what happens? God manifests himself to us. The glory rests upon us. We have it in John's Gospel where Jesus said this, in John 14 verse 21. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." I will show myself to him. You know, we've already tied that in previous weeks. That manifestation with the glory of God. I mentioned Solomon just a moment ago. So let's just take a quick look at what happened when he dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Because what's evident in the scriptures is that the tabernacle, or what we know as the tabernacle of meeting, or the tabernacle in the wilderness, was only meant to be a temporary place. It was while they were traveling in the wilderness. Two Chronicles chapter 5. And what we see here is the same thing happened, because what we actually read is that years after God's people came into the promised land, David had the desire to build God a house, but God said to him no, he restricted him, he prevented him from doing that. And God said to David that he couldn't do it, but he would allow his son Solomon to do it. And Solomon built this beautiful temple. And we read here in verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. What am I in chapter 6 for? Okay, verse 11, it says this. "It came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. There was a big choir in the temple. And they were singing. It says, it came to pass, verse 13, when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, the cymbals, the instruments of music, they praised the Lord, they sang for the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. They said that the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. Why? Because the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So there, at the dedication ceremony of the temple, when they're worshipping, they're praising, they're honouring God in their worship. Now, these verses we read makes a lot of mention of the singers and the musicians in the temple. But when we come together in one accord, we come with that purpose of meeting with God and honouring God and giving God what he is worth. Is that word? We have that word again. What he is worth, or he's worthy to receive. Then God's glory fills the place. So what we actually see here is that everything Solomon did, he put everything in its place. All of the furnishings, he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. They came together to praise the Lord with music and song, and God's glory filled the place. A few chapters over into chapter 7. And we're going to read a very well-known, this is a very well-known chapter. In 2 Chronicles 7, we're just going to go to verse 1. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, because now after this, they go back into the temple. Solomon offers a prayer of dedication for this beautiful building that they had. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple again. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, notice how they're seeing the glory, this physical manifestation. So they bowed on their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for they sang the same song, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. It must have been the in song of the day. And that's what they were singing there. So there's a connection here between God's glory filling the house and the people's regard to it. When the glory they worshipped, you know, they held it in high regard. Because it says, when the glory fell, what happens? It says, they bowed their faces to the ground. Now, when God's glory comes out, when we come together to praise and God, when we come to meet with God, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again tonight. That's the time we should do this all the time anyway, because especially when God's glory is in the place and God's glory is on the gathering of his people, that's the time we should worship and honor God. And we should do it all the time. But especially when we are in the house of God. Reverence accompanies the manifestations of the glory. Now, when the glory is manifest, it's not a time for us. Oh, this is actually the case whenever we come before God. This is not a time for us as children of God. Although there's freedom in the Spirit of God, it's not a time for us to be talking to one another. It's not a time for us to be constantly on our smartphones or looking at the watch and thinking, the time is ticking. We shouldn't be thinking about our lunch, our weather. We shouldn't be thinking about our afternoon on the beach. It's a time when we come together, we're coming to worship and God, we're coming to praise Him, we're coming to honor Him. And that's how we should regard the glory. Now I said, it's our responsibility. That's what we're talking about tonight. Our responsibility to the glory. We should hold it in high regard. When God is in the place, you know, we stand in awe, we're in reverence. That doesn't mean we're in some sort of spiritual trance, but we are honoring God by our actions. There's a in verse 13. I thought it was wrong. Back in chapter 5, verse 13. I think this is the right one. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, yes. It said, it came to pass, just listen to these words are important. I have to make a confession to you. I was reading the scriptures today, and as I've told you in the last few weeks, me and Jane, we've been going through the book of Leviticus and the book of, we've just started the book of Numbers. Mm-hmm. And we were reading the scriptures this morning, and while I was reading this list of names in the book of Numbers, I caught myself thinking, I'm reading out loud, me and Jenny, and I catch myself, my mind thinking, why? Because there's a lot of repetition, and God says the same thing, and it just changes the name or the number. Why has all this, why is this just repeated? And then I quickly caught myself, caught that thought, and felt the Spirit just prompted me, every word is essential. Just because it's repeated for a reason. Now we may not know what that reason is, we may not understand why we have all this list of names and genealogies and how many people were in each tribe that were fit to go to war. We may not understand why, but everything is important because if it wasn't important, God wouldn't have put it in His Word. So, there's words in the scriptures are important. And it says here in verse 30, it says, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were doing their own thing. What does it say, Sister Osa? Joined in unison. They were as one. They were together. They were united. It wasn't one doing his thing, one doing her thing, another one doing what they want. They came together with one purpose, in one accord, to honor the Lord and worship Him. Now these were the musicians. Now it wouldn't have sounded good if they weren't in unison, because one would be playing one thing, one would be playing something else, one would be singing this, and it wouldn't have sounded, that would have sounded, that would have been a discord, not a harmony. So they were together as one. We read it also in in Exodus 33, verse 10. Again, it's the same, it's talking about the same type of thing. In Exodus 33, verses 9 and 10, we read this. It says, it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 10, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And notice, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the door of the tabernacle. All the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. Everybody honored what was happening. They were in reverence. They all saw it in unison, and each man in his own tent door rose and worshipped the Lord when the glory, they saw the glory. Now I'm going to finish tonight with just two scriptures. Now, I will help you find the scriptures. They're in the Old Testament, they're at the back of the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai.
What book? Haggai.
Now, if you don't know where that is, the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Then you go back one to Zechariah. And then back one more to Haggai. Or Haggai. There's only two chapters in this little book. And we're going to go to chapter 2 first. Both the scriptures we're going to read tonight, or to finish with, are in this book. In chapter 2, verse 3. Because what we're going to see, unless we're going to pick up on this again, God willing, next week. Verse 3 says, "Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory?" Now we've been just reading about the temple, and we didn't look at the construction of it and everything that went into it, but it was a glorious place. He says, "Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing?" Oh, I wonder what's happened. The people were regarding the house of God as nothing. It's just church. It doesn't matter if I go today or not. It's nothing. One of the what really used to, as a pastor, really used to frustrate me, and it still does actually, is, it doesn't matter if we arrive late. We're only missing the songs. You know, that's when we're giving our worship and our praise to God. Now, how can we disregard our worship, disregard the praise of our Lord and Savior? I know there are excuses. Or you find people leave. We used to have people walk out of the church and leave just as we were bringing the offering. Now, in the church that we had, it was more important at the time when we're better to bring our tithes and our offering, our act of worship and giving, it was more important for them to go out and have a cigarette than give to God. Or they'd be on their phones during the preaching of the word. Or they'd be doing something. Is this not in your eyes as nothing? That's just church. It's just another meeting. It's just another time to come together. Oh, I can't do this. When we don't honor the house of God, and we don't honor his glory, we're getting ourselves into problems and difficulties. And sooner or later down the line, it will fall to the pastor or whoever to resolve the problems and the issues and pray people through things. Why? Because they're not regarding the glory and the house of God. And actually what happened in Haggai here, the people's lives are actually being affected because of their neglect and their disregard of God's house. So let's actually have a look at that in chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because, again, this is only a small book, but here, mainly verse 6. Verse 5, it says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat but don't have enough. You drink but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. In other words, their money was going quicker than they could get it. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, as you read on, you see that, and we go into chapter, we see why they're in these problems. Why? Because they were neglecting the house of God. They were classing it as nothing. And what we need to do is to consider our ways when it comes to the glory. I'm not saying we don't. We don't regard the glory. But here, there are many Christians. Their attitude in this respect needs to change. It means being on time. It's joining in. It's sacrificing. It's praying. It's giving our faith into the service. It's not just following a pattern, but we move with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because we can easily get into patterns and programs and we can say, well, we've got to do this because it's this time, it's this time, it's this time, it's this time. No, let's just meet with God, reverence God. Everything will flow. We've seen it in our own services. You know how what our sister Isadora prepares for the songs we're going to sing and praise the Lord with. It flows, it ties in with the preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because we're honouring God, we're honouring His house, we're honouring the glory. And that's how we should, we don't treat God like we treat our friends or our family. You know, we should honour Him. Nothing should come before Him. Now, I know it's a great time and at the moment because we're enjoying the sport on the TV. And I'm going to finish with this story. I was on Facebook the other day, and someone we know, he put a thing. He says, you know, come to church on Sat Sunday. You know, it's going to. I think this was last week. He says, we're going to have a great time, we're going to meet in the church, and then after church there's going to be a big barbecue. We're having it outside, so they're inviting the people of the city to come. He says, and while we're enjoying ourselves, having a good time, he says, the church will be open and there'll be the big screen in the church and the match will be shown. So they're doing that as an evangelistic thing to get people to come. But not everything went together. What they were actually doing was honouring God. But having a good time as well. So sport, there's a place for it. There's a place for shopping. There's a place and a time. But not to come before God. God must be in His rightful place. Now I'm going to pick this up and run with it again next week as we continue, God willing, this theme.